morning with technical things. So we tried all sorts of new things, but hopefully is this working? Okay, cool. Good. Well, let me start with this one. Well, in the world we're living in, it appears that God is not really at work. Or if God is at work, it looks like God is a bit powerless. You know, we hear of wars with Russia and Ukraine and all the things around it. We hear of earthquakes, Turkey, Syria, and like with many people dying. And even here, with what's been going on in the UK within the churches, you know, like the world looks more powerful than the church. Like archbishops and all kind of people of high stature in the Church of England prefer to side with the world rather than siding with God. And some of the stuff, when we look at it, some of it looks extremely scary, you know, like thinking of like earthquake and wars and everything, and others just seems outside of our control. And you know, we might think that as Christians, as people who are the people of God, we might feel like the lowest of the low. We might feel weak, unable to defend ourselves or to do something about the situation. As the people of God, what will help us to keep our faith in times like this? Should we just, you know, be brave and just have zero fear when things look scary? Now, well, today we are going to be looking at a song that teaches us that teaches the people of God what is their confidence, even in the most scary times. And it will teach us how we ought to respond to this. So let us open our Bibles to Psalm 46. In the church Bibles, it's on page 570. So on Psalm 46, page 570. Church Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hand. I think there's like an extra one here. So on Psalm 46. Psalm 46. For the director of music, the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And that's the word of God. Well, here we have it. What is the confidence that God's people ought to have? in the most scary times. Well, verse 7 and verse 11 summarize it. That's what the psalmist says. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Almighty God, the one who has created all things, who has every power, the one who holds the hearts of the kings in his hands, is with his people, is by their side. And not only is by their side, he is on their side. And not only is with them, is their fortress. Yeah, what is a fortress? Like a fortress is especially like in more previous time, is there are the walls that would protect a city, you know, with all kind of like armed guard and people who are ready to throw all kind of deadly things or if anybody were to attack. See, fortress were a really good thing. You know, because if you're the fortress in your city, people fought twice before attacking. But the problem with fortresses is that they had limitation. You know, they had to be high enough so that people cannot throw things over it. And if they were not solid enough, they could just get demolished and people will still end up attacking. But the psalmist here is saying that the God Almighty is their fortress. This is not a human-built fortress with limitations. This is divine protection. This is the confidence that the psalmists have. Not something they can just attack over and just break. This is the Lord Almighty. So the people of God should have this confidence that the Almighty is with them. He is their fortress. And this is meant, and this means that the people of God should be sure that they are safe. They should be sure that they are safe. And in this psalm, we are going to see three things that show us what it looks like for God's people to be sure that they are safe. So the first thing that we see is not letting disasters trouble us. Not letting disasters trouble us. Look at verse 1. God is our refuge, and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. So God is our refuge, our hiding place. It is our strength. So when we are weak, he is the one who is strong. And we are in trouble, he's an ever-present help. So trouble can happen. We have the Almighty with us. This is the one who is our help. So what does it mean for God's people? What should their attitude be in response to that? Well, look at verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, the mountains quake with their surging. Now, we don't exactly know what took place for the psalmist to write this. We don't really know what situation caused this. But it could have happened at many times, and especially under the house of David. Like that's David and all his sons who were kings. But the one that seemed to fit quite well that scenario is what happened in the days of King Hezekiah. And you can find this in 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, or Isaiah. But you know, but when Israel became a kingdom that was not as powerful as it once was, and there were like many powerful kingdoms around them. But what we can see that is clear is that there was a fear of something that is extremely scary, that is outside of their control. Something that made Israel feel like the lowest of the low. Look at what the psalmist says. See, here is describing some crazy natural disasters, like the earth giving way, the mountains falling into the heart of the sea. Like, that sounds crazy. No, but we need to remember that, you know, this is a psalm. It's It's poetry. This might just be some imagery to picture the most scary thing that can happen. But maybe this is where fears that people actually really have in those days. You know that, that everything will fall, the earth will give way, and that there will be like no much left. But the psalmist encourages God's people to say, even if all of this were to happen, we will not fear. We will not allow these disasters to bring trouble on us. But not because they are courageous and they can become strong enough to overpower all these things, but because God is their refuge, He is their strength, He is their ever-present help in trouble. So if the worst things were to happen, there is no reason to fear, because the Almighty, their fortress, is with them. And this fits well what took place during the reign of Hezekiah. And you can read about this in 2 Chronicles 30 or Isaiah 36. But that's when Judah became this tiny, vulnerable kingdom. And then there is Assyria, this enormous kingdom that conquered many nations, humiliated them, and including the northern kingdom of Israel. So they came to Judah, they challenged them, they ridiculed them, and they gave them an ultimatum. And it was whether they make a treaty with them, or whether, and I quote their own words, this is not my words, they're going to eat their own excrements and drink their own urine. Imagine this, being this vulnerable nation, having the most powerful nation that terrorizes everybody, making these threats to you. Like, how would you feel? Well, this is extremely scary. Outside of your control, you would feel like you're the lowest of the low, weak, unable to defend yourself. Like, could you just be brave and go and try to fight them anyway? That's not going to work. But Hezekiah trusted God. He knew that he himself could not stand against these guys. So he took refuge in the God Almighty. He prayed to him. And guess what? Hezekiah did not have to fight against Assyria. God sent his angels and he put to death 185,000 men. So this great king, and this great king of Assyria himself, he was just there worshiping in his temple, and then his own sons killed him. And this is what happened. God did the job here. And this is the type of confidence that the psalmist is talking about here. Having the Almighty as the fortress, as the strength of God's people, even when they are powerless, weak, and in trouble, God is the Almighty. He's the one who is strong. He's their help in this time of trouble. Disasters should not trouble them. And this is what Jesus taught his disciples as they were on the boat. I don't know if you remember that from the New Testament. There was a furious storm. The waters broke over the boat. They were about to die. And Jesus was there in a deep sleep, his disciples were in fear. And the situation was extremely scary, outside of their control. And they felt like, they are really weak. They can do nothing about this. And so they shouted to Jesus, "Teacher, like, don't you care if we drown?" Then Jesus got up and he just spoke to the wind and waves, said, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. But that's not the end of the story. What did Jesus say to his disciples after that? He said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And why did Jesus ask this question? Like, were they supposed to be courageous, just to man up and say, "It's just wind and wave. What's the big deal?" No, this was an extremely scary situation. They could have died. But why was wrong with them being afraid? Well, it was because the Almighty was with them in the boat. They should have known that they were safe. And as long as Jesus is right next to them, they should have let him be their refuge, be their strength. They should have trusted that he would have helped them in time of trouble. And as followers of Jesus, this is the one we believe in. He is the Almighty. He has every power. He controls the winds and waves, the mountains, the sea, the earth, the entire universe. And not only is he that powerful, but also he is always with us. By his Spirit, he lives in us and us in him. And as we gather this morning, he is among us. See, having faith is not about, being brave and feeling zero fear when there is a scary situation. But having faith is trusting that Jesus is our refuge, is our strength. And no matter what the trouble is, a natural disaster, war, famine, plague, economic crisis, disease, or even death, we can trust that Jesus is our ever-present help in that trouble. Jesus is the reason why we can truly say we will not fear. And even on something as scary as the final day, when the earth will actually give way and the mountains will fall, and every human being who has ever lived will be judged, while we can still say we will not fear, because the Almighty is with us. So we should not let disasters trouble us. And that's why, when we hear of wars, natural disasters, or, corruption in a major church institution, or about the crisis within the economy, or even the society that is moving far away from God, we cannot be like the rest of the world. We can't let all these things trouble us. And not because we think that, things will work out exactly the way we want them to work out. No, it's because the Almighty, our fortress, is with us. And we are safe for sure. And maybe you're here this morning and you feel that, maybe everything in your life is against you. Everything is just going wrong. And, you don't even know how you're going to make it to next year or even to next month. Maybe it's because of health issues or maybe money problems, unemployment, relationships problem, or maybe a mixture of all of these things. Well, if this is you and you are a believer in Jesus, let me tell you, be sure that you are safe. Don't let all these things trouble you, because the Almighty is with you. See, no matter how scary and depressive those things are, no matter how weak and powerless you feel, remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty, is your fortress. He is the one who is courageous. He is the one who is powerful. He is the one who is strong. And he is with you. And you might not feel that God is with you, but this is not about how you feel. It's about his faithfulness. It's about his unfailing love. The promise that he has made to every single one of his followers. And this is how we should pray for believers in Turkey and Syria. That despite everything being extremely scary and depressive, that they will not lose sight that the Almighty is with them. The world, the entire world might even turn against them and stop helping them, but He will continue to comfort them and to guide them, because to His people, He is an ever-present help in trouble. And this is what we should pray for our church. You know, we might approach another times of uncertainties, you know, whether it's with the economy being completely messed up, or whether it's just living in a country where people are rejecting the truth more and more. What will we remain faithful in trusting that the Almighty is our fortress and take refuge in Him, not in money, not in this popular opinion of society, or not in our own power? As God's people, if the Almighty is our fortress, if He's with us, well, we should be sure that we are safe. And it looks like not letting disasters troubling us, that's the first thing. The second thing, it looks like letting God's presence be our confidence. Letting God's presence be our confidence. Look at verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Now this talks about a river that brings gladness to the city of God, to Jerusalem. Most commentators suggest that this is likely to be not so much of a river, but the channel that Ezekiah constructed to bring water into Jerusalem when there was a water shortage at some point. And you can read about this in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 30. But rivers in the Bible, they often symbolize life. And you know, we can see this how in the Garden of Eden, there was a river streaming through. And we can see in the visions of Ezekiel or the visions of John in Revelation, you see, they have these visions of the new creation, and they describe it as a garden city with the water of life streaming through. Now, in our psalm, the psalmist talks about how this source of water brings gladness into God's city. And look at how he describes that city. So the holy place where the Most High dwells. So not only that city is the city that belongs to God, it's God's city, and it's a city where that has been made glad, but not only just it belongs to God, but it is also the city where God Himself dwells. You know, I know of people who have houses that belong to them, but they don't live in them. But this city belongs to them, and God lives in that city. If you want to think dwells, think of somebody that comes and he pitches his tents. Like, this is what God does in that city. He lives in there. He has put His name in it. Can you imagine this? Living in the place, in the one place on earth where the Almighty has set His presence. Like, what kind of experience this would be? Like, what sort of confidence will you be if you are in that city? What kind of confidence will you have if you are in that city? Well, look at verse 5. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. So the fact that God is present in that city is the confidence that the city will not fall. And this is what happened, you know, when King Hezekiah was not defeated by Assyria. So he was confident in God's presence. He knew that if People try to fight against it, no matter how powerful they seem. They will not stand. In a way or another, they will be defeated because God is there. See, God's presence should be God's people's confidence. But sadly, towards the end of the life of Hezekiah, he became proud. And God told him that his descendants will actually lose his kingdom. And eventually, we can read all over the Bible, like in Ezekiel, like how God's presence left Jerusalem. And a few generations after that, after Hezekiah, Judah was in exile, so they ended up somewhere else. And as we get to the New Testament, Jesus, the Almighty himself, as he came on earth, as a descendant of David, he doesn't hang around Jerusalem that much. Actually, on the contrary, he condemns Jerusalem as a city of idolaters, as a city that murders the prophets, a city where God's name is blasphemed. And it is in that city that Jesus will be arrested, tortured, and condemned by the most cruel death penalty, crucifixion. And as he is on the cross, as he suffered agony and died, what happened? Well, he did that so that the blood that was shed would be the river that would make glad the people who trust in him. And it is by his wounds that we have been healed. It is by his punishment that we have the forgiveness of sins. And this is why the blood of Jesus to a Christian is the river that makes us glad. It is our guarantee that things will not be like they were in Jerusalem. Despite our failures, our weaknesses, our unfaithfulness, God's presence will not leave us. So God's presence should be our confidence. See, not having acceptance of the majority of people in this country, not being in agreement with the Church of England, but being the people of God, the community that holds down to the teaching of Jesus. See, we don't need to make God acceptable. We don't need to make God gender neutral. No, we preach in the way, you know, we preach God the way that God has revealed himself to us. Because he is the Almighty. He is our fortress, our refuge, our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Not the people of this world. And it is because of him that we will not fall. So people can make a lot of noise. They might want to pressure us to deny God, but kingdom falls. See, our God lifts his voice and the earth melts. So this is the Almighty. This is our fortress. And and the God who dwells in us and among us. And that's why we can be sure that we are safe. And it looks like letting his presence being our confidence. That was the second thing. And the third and final thing. It looks like knowing that God is God. Knowing that God is God. Look at verse 8. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. Now here the psalmist is inviting his readers to come and to see what God has done. And at first, you know, if you hear somebody say, come and see what God has done, you know, you might think that he's going to point you, he's going to show you how, you know, God has made his people flourish. I has given them like amazing prosperity. Like, this is what we might think. But what is it pointing to? The desolations that God has brought on the earth. This is about God's power to bring destruction. This is what the psalmist wants his readers to pay attention to. Now, we would think that seeing misery, people defeated, humbled, it's supposed to make us think this is an evidence that God doesn't exist. Well, that's not what the psalmist thinks. The psalmist is saying, look at this, all these terrible things. Pay attention to this. This shows you that God is at work. This is the proof that God is powerful. But what is good about this? Look at verse 9. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. That's the thing that's good about this. God breaks the power of the armies, of the fighters. He makes their weapons powerless. He makes the war cease. You see, think back to the story of Hezekiah and the Assyrian army. You see, when God himself stopped the war, all the talking that the great king of Assyria was doing was changed into silence. All the threats of humiliating God's people, challenging God's power, got put into an end. And just like that, human beings might decide to enter a competition against God. But soon or later, they will realize that God is God. He will kill that noise. Now, look at what the psalmist says about God in verse 10. Look at what it says that God is saying. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That's what God is saying to the world. Be still. Chill. Keep quiet. Get off your horses. Take a moment to realize that I am God. You can choose to acknowledge me, or you can choose to reject me. That is not going to change who I am. I will be exalted among the nations throughout the world regardless. So take a decision now. It's rather you give me all the glory I deserve now out of your goodwill, or you do it later, weeping as an enemy. See, God is God. No matter if people recognize it or not. And our view of God should not change because the people around us don't acknowledge God. Because, you know, archbishops seems to have forgotten who God is, or because these things of this world look messy. No, God is God. And actually, this should cause us to pray for such people, that they will come to repentance, that God will be gracious to us. He will open their eyes and so that they will be able to see the error of their ways, the same way that he has done this to us, because this is what we were before. And God had mercy on us. And he should give us confidence to continue proclaiming that God is God, despite being mocked, being ridiculed, because that's what people did to God himself when he came. And maybe you're here this morning and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And maybe it's because you are not sure. Or maybe you've just been delaying it, thinking, you know, I'll do this later at some point. Or maybe you just reject the idea at all, completely. And you might not have a negative feeling toward God. You might not be hostile. You might be open to the idea of God. But God has given you one way to be on his side, and it is to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that, while you are, no matter what you feel, your feelings are toward God, you are in opposition to God. You are competing against him. So let me tell you this now. You will not win this. So listen to him now. Receive him now. Just pray to him in your heart. Give your life to him. Because he will be exalted. He's going to win this regardless that you think he is good or not. And for those who have trusted God can say the words of this psalm with confidence, like that the Almighty is with us. He is our fortress. We can be sure that we are safe. So no matter how scary things look or they get, we should not let disasters trouble us. Because if our God is powerful, we should let his presence be our confidence. And no matter how people view God, we should know that our God is God, regardless. Let us pray. Father, you are mighty. You are all powerful. There is nothing that is outside of your control, and there is no real competition that we can do against you. And Father, we ask that you will forgive us for our arrogance, the time when we thought that we could make our own way, and Father, we ask that you will help us not to be troubled by the disasters of that are happening in this world, but actually that our trust will be in you, that we will know that in you we are safe, and despite how scary things might look, we know that you are the Almighty, that you are our fortress. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can the band come back in?